Bukowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. Welcome back from the weekend. Happy Monday. And we are in the full swing of things here. Well, I got to tell you, we're busy prepping for tomorrow's show. And if you haven't heard, tomorrow, now normally, look, you know, this is a place for politics and current events, and that's what this show is all about. But given that tomorrow is a very special day, Valentine's Day, the big V-Day, the dreaded holiday for men across this fair nation, we here at Sam Nation shall become Love Nation for one night only. And ladies, don't feel left out on this. I mean, I absolutely want to hear from you, too. I am going to be giving some really great relationship advice. I'll let you be the judge of it, but I want you to call, and you know the number, right? And 800-222-5222. Audrey will be standing by, ready to take your calls. And also, we're going to be receiving emails here. Email me directly, okay? I don't want your personal love correspondence to get mishandled. So my email, as you know, is sam@samnation.com. And so if you've got a question, send me the question, but give me a little background, okay? I need to know the layup. And I do reserve to read. I can maybe change your name, okay, if you don't want the embarrassment. But yes, by all means, send the email in. I will read I'll read the pertinent bits on air and then give you my take on it. So that all is going down tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Now, today, there's a different kind of heartbreak around. And normally we talk about the big picture here, what's going on in the country. But every now and then, I want to keep things a little closer to home. And in this case, I want to get a little bit ahead of a story that I think we're going to be talking about for the weeks and months to come. Well, you're following this Oroville Dam situation, right? You got the dam up in Northern California. It's overflowing. And normally the way dams are built, I'll just tell you exactly what's cooking right now. Normally the way a dam is built is you have certain release points that allow water, if the dam gets too full, to flow out and around and down river without causing the dam to break, right? The idea is the dam can only take so much water, and if it starts to spill over the top, kind of things are not good at that point. All right, so this particular dam, the way it was constructed and built, is the spillway along the side is not paved. It's not put in concrete. It's just built, with rocks and earth. And now that is where all the water is going, and the risk is it's going to so erode the earth around the dam that it will cause the rest of the dam to break and give way. That's the scoop. But every problem, this is California, right? And I know this state like the back of my hand. I've grown up here, and I know these liberal idiots like the back of my hand. And this problem is a political one, okay? And I'll let me explain it. So the minute I heard about a failing dam, the minute I heard about this dam, they started building this dam in the 50s. I mean, this thing's old. So I heard about this piece of infrastructure, and it reminded me, it triggered a little memory here, and I want to share that with you. Remember the drought? I say that laughingly because, my car, every time I wash my car right now, it just rains on it the next day. So there's the drought technically might still be there, but we've got dams breaking for Pete's sake. So the drought is on its way out. But in the heyday of the drought, you know, when we had Governor Brown get up and give his weekly briefings with the Sierra, the barren Sierra Mountains in the background, and he'd get in there with that beagle looking face of his and get on TV and say, we've got a problem here. We're going to have to cut back. And you remember all that. Well, there was an interesting thing around that same time, even though even though we had this drought and even though we had all these soundings from the environmentalists. And the environmentalists were concerned about all sorts of things. And among them, interestingly enough, in spite of the fact that we had a drought, environmentalists, even at that point, were concerned by the way the large number of dams that had been built and were being maintained across California. Now, I remember at the time, I thought, I looked at it and I heard it and I just, it was mystifying because, look, if you are in a drought, it doesn't rain every day in California, not even in Northern California. Here's what you need. You need ways to collect rain so that when it rains, the rainwater goes somewhere, it fills up, and then when it doesn't rain, you drain that water slowly for use, be it for farming, for commercial purposes, for residential use. Now, I say that because it just seems so patently obvious to me. That's what you do. It's called having water in reserve. And yet the funniest thing is if you go back in history a little bit in California, you realize there's this huge movement to do away with dams. Why? Well, the environmentalists, okay, these guys who are very concerned with all the small little animals out there. Well, they think that when you clog up a dam, when you clog up a river and form a dam, now you're changing the environment downstream. And that's true to a point, of course. And the type of fish, yes, the type of fish that live in a river, very important because, you know, the bigger the river and the more full it is, right, then you can have bigger fish. And if the river slowed to a trickle by a dam, well, then you can't have the same size of fish. And in particular, these goofballs are obsessing over a tiny little fish that is called the Delta smelt. It's a bait fish, you know, the kind of fish that you buy, you know, in the tackle store and put on the end of a hook and go to catch larger fish. Tiny, totally unremarkable, about 3 inches in length. And their supposed natural habitat is in these rivers, and then also they are found in the estuary of the San Joaquin Delta, which is over there up by Stockton. And this Delta smelt fish is what these environmentalists have been raving about for years. Do you know that they've actually wanted to eliminate dams? At one point, and it's not, the insanity is not just limited to California, by the way. You know, the EPA, under the auspices of the Environmental Protection Act, wanted to eliminate 4 dams in California. They were up, a couple of them were up by Oregon, and one was a little bit lower. I mean, it was such an insane plan that one dam that was near San Francisco, in 2012, there was a proposition, a local measure went on the ballot in San Francisco to eliminate the dam to save, you know, for environmental reasons. And even people in San Francisco voted against it. They didn't want to eliminate it. I mean, so there have been now historically a lot of opposition to dams. And I'm sensing, and I'll tell you this, I've seen it nowhere yet, but I'm sensing that some backstory will come out with the Oroville Dam, where these people, because I tell you, if you want to break a dam, if you want to tear it down, if you don't like the idea of dams, you're not going to give money to their repair and construction. You're not. So not only are you not going to build dams, but you're also going to be hesitant to repair them. And nobody's writing about this yet, but I smell a rat. A very wet, drenched, perhaps even partially drowned rat. Because something in this thing right now, in the way this is going, it just smells. The dam's maintained by California, but you've got regulation from the state. Not just from the state, but also from the federal government. And you look at this. Well, you want to know some of this insanity? You know that, for example, what happened was in the height of the when we had the drought, remember there's all this controversy about the fact that we were still giving water to farmers. Oh, my gosh, we can't even, you know, Jerry Brown was taking a shower a week. We're giving all these, you know, trillions of gallons of water to the farmers in the San Joaquin Valley. You know, never mind, it's a significant part of our economy. But whatever the case was, there was a lot of outrage about it. But at the same time, it was determined that 12 smelt fish, these are 3-inch bait fish, literally 12 of them were stuck in a little drying up riverbed. And there was a dam above it. And what do you think our geniuses in the state decided was going to be the best use for the water in that dam? You got it. They released water into the dry riverbed in order to get 12 fish. And this is documented. They were able to track down the 12 fish because they were there in some small pool of water. Some scientists went out and actually counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I don't know what they counted them. They could have literally FedExed these fish somewhere, but no. So instead, they opened the dam and sent, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of gallons downriver. You heard about the salmon in Northern California. This stuff will blow your mind. I mean, they spent so many millions. Well, the water goes straight to the ocean. That's a whole separate point. But on the salmon thing, yeah, the salmon, they had the Modesto Bee reported some time ago that they had about a 500 to 1,000 salmon that swim around the Don Pedro Reservoir. And they thought, oh, God, we're losing these salmon. So we got to do something. So then they decided on the $70 to $150 million project to save the salmon. And I guess somebody did the math, and it's about $70,000 to $300,000 per salmon. Now, the reason I bring all this up, it's just insane. And it's all to do, and this is the thing here. Our state, you know, we have this, we used to be a state where we wanted to build great things. We wanted to build up the state. We wanted people to be here. We rolled a welcome mat for, you know, the motto of our state was, you know, we might as well build it because they're going to come. People are moving to California. California was a state where people wanted to be, and it was a state where people from outside of the state were welcome and wanted. And then in the 70s, something changed, and you suddenly had the slow growth movement, the slow growth lobby. And what they found was a very comfortable relationship with the environmentalists, because as soon as you discover some fish that is or some small animal – or a little, you know, a little squirrel or a winged bat of some kind that is endangered or perhaps endangered, it is an excuse to put the brakes on development. But development is not all bad, and we have to maintain our infrastructure. And again, this is going to be something that will be very difficult to get to the bottom of because everybody's covering for everyone. Nobody comes out of this looking good. You've got crumbling infrastructure in the state. And you know this. You drive on the freeway every day. But and it's some of that same mentality, right? You expand the freeway, it's just going to invite more cars. You expand, you know, if we allow for more water, it's just going to bring in more people. And then it all starts to make sense when you wonder, when you're pulling your hair out and you see that California is literally losing in its competitiveness to New Mexico. To a stupid state like New Mexico, and sorry if you're from New Mexico, I don't mean to offend you, but to Texas, to Arizona, to Utah, to Colorado, and you start to get the idea that just maybe we don't want people here. And so is it about the Delta smelt? Is it about the salmon? Is it about the rivers? Because, you know, at the end of the day, by the way, all this water just ends up flowing into the ocean. It just goes out in the ocean and disappears. And you hear about that and you think, how could that be? We're in a 3-year drought. Things were dire. We were almost worried about losing our entire agriculture industry. I mean, if you like Napa, you go up there, you know, that's the first thing you talk about, and water problems. And yet we were ready to resign it all. I mean, and it's just been political defeatism. And so it breaks my heart. I'm looking at the situation, and I guarantee you that there is an element of this, you know, resistiveness, this resistance to maintaining our. I mean, we got enough money to protect a handful of salmon, no problems. Let's spend $70 million on that. But how about we fix a dam or a freeway or something else? And the answer is we don't want to do that because our politicians do not want more people here. They want less. And I have some great examples of this when we come back. So bear with me. Quick couple of minutes, then we'll be right back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Now, I was just talking about the Oroville Dam. Really sad situation there. We're following it closely here. But I suspect that some of our infrastructure is just not in the shape that it ought to be. Certainly not for the fact that where do we figure in the world? Are we still the 11th largest economy or the 7th largest economy? Well, wherever California falls, we are a far too wealthy state to have this type of crumbling infrastructure. And I think that as this story begins to unfold, we'll find that it's, you know, the environmentalists in the state have so long held us hostage over their insistence that every little animal, every little fish, you know, I talked about the Delta smelt in Northern California, where they wanted to take apart four different dams at different times just to protect the local environment. Now, what's interesting to me, too, politically speaking now, you know, Pat Brown, who is a Governor Jerry Brown's father, was a great developer and visionary. I mean, this is a guy who preceded Ronald Reagan as governor. And he was someone who directed all the major works. I mean, every bit of infrastructure that we have in the state dates, for the most part, to Governor Brown, the first, and then some to Reagan. It wasn't until the 70s that we slowed down on all of this. And that was when little Jerry came along. That's right. Jerry Brown. And Jerry Brown had a very different inspiration. And one of the things that biographies of him tell is that Jerry Brown has a favorite economist, a British economist by the name of E.F. Schumacher. And he became very popular in the 70s with this assertion that small is beautiful. You know, kind of a live simply was his motto. And it apparently influenced Jerry Brown because in some of what Schumacher talks about. I'm always interested, right? I mean, I always want to know, as a little side here, what influences the people that are making decisions over my life? I want to know. And, you know, obviously Governor Brown has been somebody who, how long has he been governor now for? I mean, he had two terms before and two terms again now. I mean, this guy's been around for almost 16 years, right? I mean, he's had an outsized influence over modern California. And we went from being a can-do state to all of a sudden a state that isn't doing very much to upgrade its infrastructure. So I wanted to know why. And looking into his personal history, you see that he does really enjoy this sort of live simply, small is beautiful. Nature always knows where and when to stop, according to Schumacher. Interesting. Well, so nature did stop, right? Governor Jerry Brown helped it. And we stopped building and stopped making any kind of large scale infrastructure improvements. And it also is pretty obvious that we don't really invest in the infrastructure that we have. And there's almost a hope. It reminds me of the Coastal Commission. You know, the Coastal Commission, usually most people have to contend with it. But if you live somewhere by the ocean, you've got to deal with those people. And they are the worst. They are the biggest slow growth people out there. And their whole idea of how, because there, people did used to build on the water in ways that is no longer allowed. But do you know how the Coastal Commission solves that now? It's an interesting thing. They basically say, all right, we can't do anything about it. It's there, but you can't maintain it. So here in Orange County, in Laguna, there's some homes that built some things out on the rocks, you know, out of concrete. And the big thing is, you know, like somebody built a swimming pool out there or whatever back in the 20s. But the Coastal Commission says you can leave it, but you can't maintain it in hopes that someday nature will reclaim it and make that rock natural again. And I think that's how it is with some of this infrastructure, too. There's a hope. I mean, we're not really working on that nuclear power plant down here in Orange County, are we? Right? I mean, we're not really upgrading that because the hope is sooner or later it's just going to be obsolete and we're going to shut it down. And the same is with these dams. Well, you know, it's the tallest dam in the country. Think about all the fish that it's blocking. We don't like that. So hopefully it'll, maybe over time it'll just, burst. I don't know. This will be a story. It'll take a couple weeks to get out, but I'm positive it's going to be there. All right, I want to give you an update on all this political stuff swirling. Flynn, Rance Priebus, and my take on it when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Did he say helicopter crash? I think John's the new, most interesting man in the world. Can't make this stuff up. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. I need to hear details on this. All right. So, well, look, we have a call. I got a call from last segment I really wanted to get to really quick here. Before we move along, but talking back to the environment and to the resistive efforts of the environmentalists in California to push back on development, all part of their plot to keep population down and in check in California. And all right. And I have, let's see, Cindy, are you there? Cindy?
Call. Yes,
hi.
I'm here.
Well,
hi, thank you for taking my call. Thank you. I am fascinated that you brought up this topic because it's something I've been thinking about recently and didn't really know where I could talk to anybody about it.
Well, this show's the place to talk to about all sorts of untalked about things. So it's time to go. So what's your thought on this?
Well, my thought, I'm actually calling it population equalization. And I'm thinking about how our resources seem to be really taxed, and we're not the only state that has that problem. And wondering if what you thought about the idea of our representatives across the country sort of making this a plan that we would find ways to encourage population to move across into the less populated states and help build.
Yeah, I'm going to just tell you right there, I think we have considered that, and I think that our solution is to tax people to death, to give them not enough jobs, to make roadways so impossible to drive on that your car falls apart every time it, goes from one end of Wilshire Boulevard to the other. I don't know. Our schools are terrible. I think there are the net right now. I mean, I think we're in a net good decline in California, but there's definitely an exodus of people moving out. So I think our state is encouraging people to leave. Do you think that's a good thing?
I think it is, really. If we think about the natural resources, your comment about Shoemaker's nature knows where to stop and start, I think was what you said, or start and stop, where and when to stop, I guess. That sort of makes sense. We can't provide the resources needed, the natural resources that we all need to survive for just an unlimited number of people.
I'm curious because I've lived here since 1983. Are you a lifelong Californian?
Not really. No, I've been here since about probably 84, 85, I think.
Okay,
I lived in Texas before that. But yeah,
I have a question. I have a question for you. Why is the state big enough for you but not big enough for other people?
I don't know that I will stay here. I think eventually when retirement hits, I will probably move. It's just currently where my husband works.
Right. It's just that's the interesting question, isn't it? I mean, I always joke that an environmentalist is the guy or gal that builds a cabin in the woods and then doesn't want any neighbors. Because nature is what it is. And obviously we're never going to, you're never going to draw California back to what it was, you know, from, you know, the Lewis and Clark days. So
right.
Then where is enough, you know, where is that boundary? And I think, look, I mean, for what it's worth, we have a state that could be a lot better of a place to live. And I think the environmentalists have taken the wrong tack. They're, you know, these little fishes, right? These little 3-inch delta smelts, you know, and salmon that aren't even indigenous, by the way, to California, spending, you know, $75,000 per salmon to, you know, make a little, you know, I don't know, some little special stream for them so they can get around the power plant. I mean, I don't, you think that's reasonable? I think it's insane. I mean, it's just insane. And it's your my tax money that's going for that. So anyway, I've got to run, Cindy. I really appreciate the call. And we will, I got right when we come back, I'm going to get into this White House shakeup and what I think is going to happen. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rogowski here. So this Misha Barton character, I think she's the troubled former star of The O.C., has just gotten into a pretty major accident. In case you missed it, yesterday this happened? She crashed a U-Haul into her apartment building. Now, first of all, apparently she's moving out of her apartment, so I don't know what... a relatively well-known actress is doing, moving herself out of her apartment in a U-Haul. But, I mean, that's a part of the story I probably can't explain to you. But the other part that's weird is that, you know, she got the U-Haul and was moving out of her apartment and then just, like, kept the U-Haul and was driving around town in a really, like, dangerous and deranged manner. And at one point, she did actually crash into the building itself. Now, if you were out and about in Los Angeles in the last, 4 or 5 days... and happened to have had a run-in with Misha Barton in her U-Haul, you need to give Sweet James a call. He's got to hear from you. Probably going to hurt, right? I mean, if you're in a little Prius or one of those Fiat 500s, and Misha Barton comes up behind you in a giant, you know, box truck, it's not going to be pretty. So you don't want to take anything to chances. You don't want to deal with Misha Barton. Don't talk to her because she's crazy, ranting incoherently, according to TMZ. So we don't want to do that. You don't even want to talk to her insurance company because they're going to rant incoherently as well. Trust me. You call Sweet James. Attorney James Bergner, the attorney we trust here on the program to take care of you and your rights. All right? Don't get screwed. Okay? Don't let the accident victimize you twice. It's what you do after the accident that matters. Make sure you do everything right. Call Sweet James and he'll take care of you. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. So today, as in preparing for the show, I'm looking at a variety of cable news channels, and I was struck by the most interesting thing. Everyone, including Fox, usually more measured, was just up in arms about... there's a certain sense that the blood is in the water that, you know, and it has to do with Flynn, in case you missed it. So apparently there was a report that Flynn, General Flynn, who's the national security advisor for Trump, that he had spoken to the Russian ambassador about lifting sanctions. And this was before the inauguration. So it was as they were getting ready to come into the White House. Now, I guess it all got caught up. You remember with the Russian spying scandal where you had the FBI and the CIA were investigating. And so they had these Russian guys on wiretaps. And supposedly, or rumor has it, that you know, Flynn got caught up. Mike Flynn got caught on one of these wiretaps speaking to the ambassador. And then there's some sloppy back and forth. You know, he did, you know, he says to the vice president, no, I didn't do it. And then he has to later apologize. And so there's some mixed signals right now, and the press, being who they are, smell blood in the water. Now, I always take a step back from this, and bear with me here if you can indulge in a little bit of a parallel example. Normally, and I have some experience growing businesses. When you start a business, it starts small and grows organically. So I am always in awe of these transitions, these presidential transitions, because what do you have? You suddenly have to stop, you have to fill hundreds, if not thousands, of positions. It's not just people in the White House. It's all these agencies, okay, departments. So you've got to find a lot of qualified people. You've got to find cabinet-level positions. You've got to find all their assistants and all the people underneath them. And you're going to run into duds. I don't care about the job interview. I don't care how it works. You're always in an interview going to run into duds. So to me, a good leader is someone who takes duds and gets rid of them fast. I don't know if Flynn is a dud or not. But the true test will be whether, if it's proven that he is, how long do you hang on to someone that isn't helping or advancing your cause? And when I come back, I want to talk to you about some of the early indicators I had where I have a degree of optimism here that Trump is going to do the right thing. All right, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBZ.
Register now by going inside KABC.com.
And we are back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Now, just as a reminder, tomorrow, the different show we will have. Sam Nation will turn briefly into Love Nation. It's Valentine's Day. Yes, that's why. And I'm going to be taking your calls for relationship advice. Now, I'll tell you one more time why I'm doing this. Well, first of all, it's a public service. I want to give back. That's the most important thing. Now, and I'm known around the office for giving very, very candid, very blunt, but I actually think quite effective advice to people. So those of you listening who work with me can attest to this. Many of you have been victims, frankly, of my unsolicited relationship counseling. So tomorrow you too can join in on the fun. You'll just call the number. Audrey will take care of you, or send me an email, sam@samnation.com, and I'll read it on the air and give you my input. All right. Now, I looked at something here when we're talking about the Trump's 100 days and all this talk about the wheels falling off and all these people that are just not performing well. I'm reminded of some details. If you just rewind the clock back 8 years, do you know that Obama had his entire cabinet in by Inauguration Day? It's not that Trump did anything wrong. I mean, except that he got elected, you know, and everybody wanted Hillary to win. But everybody just – Obama got everything he wanted from Congress. The Senate confirmed everybody. Easy peasy. You know that Obama – and this will – you'll get a good laugh out of this. Obama had four cabinet secretaries who were confirmed with unanimous votes. Unanimous. Now, of course, let me tell you why. Nobody could be seen to be against Obama at the time. That would not have been a politically correct thing. Everybody wanted the nation's first black president to succeed. Great change agent, out with the Bush, in with the new, you know. So Obama had a tremendous amount of public support behind him. Not just public support, but particularly media support. And the spineless Republicans, even though Obama went into office promising to do everything and anything to dismantle Bush's agenda, dismantle conservative principles, everything. The Republicans in Congress didn't want to get on the bad side of the media. They're terrified of the press. So they didn't want to break any eggs. So they just went along with everything. And, you know, wouldn't it have been nice of the Democrats to repay the favor? It would have been. But it's not happening. And that's why you have the Democrats literally obstructing every single appointment. Now, we got two through, I think, the Secretary of the Treasury today. And I think one other person was skated their way in. But slowly, Trump is getting his cabinet put together. But so he doesn't even have the full team yet. I can't imagine. It's got to be stressful. But remember during the campaign, it took a few different iterations of staff to get it right. But Trump's a tinkerer. And he's somebody who knows how to deal with people. He knows how to pick the best. He knows how to empower those people to do the right thing and to be productive. And so that's what's going to happen here. It may take him a while to get there. But of course there's going to be missteps. He's working at breakneck speed. He's doing more than anybody on the left wants him to. And he's getting it done. So I think it's going to be just fine. Do not despair. All right. See you here tomorrow for Love Nation. I can't believe it's tomorrow. We have John Wolfe with the news next. And I will, see you tomorrow. I'm excited. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Choose not the life of imitation.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC and KABC Los Angeles, Orange County, a Cumulus station.